Hey everyone, and welcome back. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Awesome. Well, today we're diving into the world of virtual acoustics. You know, how to make sound in digital spaces like VR and games really believable.
Yeah, sound design is so crucial these days for an immersive experience, especially as the metaverse keeps evolving.
Totally. And guess what? Turns out AI is playing a huge role now in how we create that realistic sound.
It really is. Mm. Have you heard about this paper that came out beginning of 2024? It's called Sound Propagation in Realistic Interactive 3D Scenes with Parameterized Sources Using Deep Neural Operators.
Bit of a mouthful.
Deep neural operators. That definitely sounds like we're in the realm of AI.
We are. It was published in PNAS by Boral Jensen and their team.
PNAS. So we know it's got to be good.
Exactly. But before we get into all the nitty-gritty details, maybe we should take a step back for a second.
Yeah, good idea. Let's set the scene a bit. Okay, so imagine you're in a virtual room in, say, a game, and you hear a door slam shut. What has to happen for that sound to really make you feel like you're actually there?
Well, I guess it can't just be the sound of the door slamming, right? Like, it has to sound like it's actually happening in that specific room.
Exactly. You need to simulate how those sound waves from the door are bouncing off the walls, furniture, everything.
The shape of the room itself would make a difference too, right? Like, a big empty room would sound different from a small cluttered one.
For sure. So it's all about simulating the acoustics, the unique sonic fingerprint of that space.
So it's not just about playing the right sound effect. It's about modeling how that sound would actually behave in that 3D environment. That sounds pretty complex.
Oh, it is. Computationally, it's a huge challenge. You're basically mapping out the paths of countless sound waves as they interact with their surroundings. Mm-hmm. Think about how they diffract, reflect, interfere with each other. It's mind-boggling.
Wow, yeah. Kind of like trying to track every ripple in a pond after you've tossed in a handful of pebbles.
A perfect analogy. And it gets even more complex when you consider things like different materials absorbing sound differently.
Right. Like a thick rug would absorb more sound than, say, a tile floor.
Exactly. And all of this has to be accounted for to create truly realistic sound.
Okay. I'm starting to grasp why this is such a tough nut to crack, especially if you're aiming for real-time sound, like in a VR game where every millisecond counts.
Oh, absolutely. Real-time is the holy grail. And even the current industry standard, geometrical acoustics, has its limits. It struggles with those super detailed, lower frequency sounds that really make things feel real.
So even the best methods we have today are hitting a wall.
Yeah, pretty much. It's been a bottleneck in creating truly immersive virtual experiences.
Okay, so this is where AI comes in, right? These deep operator networks, or deep-onets, as you call them.
Bingo. Deep-onets are like the superheroes of virtual acoustics.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about these superhero deep-onets.
Well, they're this type of AI that's designed to learn complex physics. Specifically, they learn how sound waves actually behave.
So instead of having to solve all those complex equations every time a sound is made, these deep dones have a shortcut.
Yeah, it's like they have a cheat sheet for physics.
I like that. A cheat sheet for physics. So how does that actually work?
So they train the deep-onet on tons of data, and it learns to predict how sound will travel in a given space without crunching all those numbers every time.
So they can just look at a space and go, okay, if a sound happens here, it'll travel like this. Boom. Instant prediction.
Pretty much. And they can do it incredibly fast and with amazing accuracy. That's why everyone's so excited about their potential for real-time audio simulations.
Okay, that is super cool. But let's get specific here. How did the researchers test these deep-onets out? Did they create their own, like, virtual concert hall?
Haha, not quite a concert hall. But they did build four different virtual spaces, each one more complex than the last, to see how well these deep-onets could handle the challenge.
Okay, I'm hooked. Tell me about these virtual spaces. What were they like?
Well, they started simple with a cubic room, you know, kind of a blank slate. Then they added a little architectural interest with an L-shaped room. To step it up even further, they created a furnished room. You can imagine all those extra surfaces for the sound to bounce off of chairs, tables, all that.
So it's like they were designing levels in a video game, each one getting progressively harder for the deeper nets to master.
That's a great way to put it. And for the final, ultimate test, they designed a massive, complex dome. That one was really pushing the limits.
A dome. Wow, that must have been a beast to model. But you mentioned that they trained these deep-onets on tons of data. What exactly were they feeding these AI systems?
Millions of what are called impulse responses. Basically, these are like sonic fingerprints of a space. Think about clapping your hands in a cathedral, the way that sound reverberates through the space, that it's unique impulse response.
Okay, you lost me a little at impulse response. Can you explain that in a way that even I can understand?
Sure. Imagine taking a snapshot of all the sound happening in a room at one precise moment. That snapshot captures all the ways sound is behaving in that space, the echoes, the reflections, how different materials are absorbing sound. That, in a nutshell, is an impulse response.
Okay. So the DeepaNet had to learn to predict these sonic fingerprints, these snapshots of sound, for any possible sound source and listener position within each virtual space.
Precisely. And with millions of these sonic fingerprints to learn from, the DeepaNet was able to build up a deep understanding of how sound behaves in different environments.
Okay, so talk about a tough exam. So how'd they do? Did these DeepaNets pass with flying colors?
They did. The results were seriously impressive.
All right, let's get to the good stuff. Did they actually deliver on their promise of realistic virtual acoustics?
In a word, yes. They were able to accurately predict sound propagation in all four spaces, even that crazy complex dome.
Whoa. Seriously. But what does accurately even mean in this context? Give us some specifics.
So in the simplest case, the cubic room, the predictions were almost perfect. We're talking an average error of just 0.03 pascals.
0.03 pascals. Okay, gotta be honest. Those numbers don't mean much to me. What does that actually translate to for someone experiencing this virtual sound?
Basically, a pascal is a unit of pressure, and sound is just pressure waves moving through the air. So that tiny error means the DeepaNet was basically spot on. The predicted sound pressure levels matched the actual physically measured ones incredibly closely.
So if I were in that virtual cubic room, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the DeepaNet simulation and a recording of the real thing.
You got it. It's like indistinguishable from reality.
Wow, that's some seriously impressive stuff. Okay, so what about those more challenging spaces, the furnished room and the dome? Did the DeepaNets hit a snag there?
Well, they still did a fantastic job, even in those more complex environments. Of course, as things got more intricate, the accuracy did dip just a bit, as you might expect.
Right. The more objects and surfaces for sound to bounce off of, the harder it gets to model perfectly. Makes sense. But they didn't just throw in the towel, did they?
Oh, absolutely not. These researchers are always up for a challenge. In fact, they came up with this ingenious technique called domain decomposition to boost accuracy, especially in that massive dome.
Domain decomposition sounds a little intimidating. Break that down for me.
Imagine trying to eat an entire cake in one bite. It's overwhelming. Domain decomposition is like slicing that cake into smaller, more manageable pieces. Instead of trying to simulate the whole dome all at once, they divided it into smaller sections.
Ah, so it's a divide and conquer strategy for sound simulation.
Exactly. And it worked wonders, especially for those larger, more complex spaces.
So they're getting incredible accuracy. But what about speed? We talked about real-time performance being crucial, especially for things like VR and gaming.
You're absolutely right. Speed is key. And this is where things get really interesting. Remember those impulse responses we were talking about? Well, for most of those rooms, the DeepaNet could calculate them for 5 different listener positions in less than 50 milliseconds.
Hold on. 50 milliseconds. That's crazy fast. Like faster than I can snap my fingers, so no more lag in my VR games.
You got it. That's well within the threshold for real-time audio. No more annoying delays ruining the experience.
That is awesome. What about the dome, though? I imagine that one took a bit longer, given its size.
It did take a little longer, yeah. About 132 milliseconds. But keep in mind, that's still way faster than traditional methods.
Okay, so still pretty darn fast in the grand scheme of things. But I bet these researchers weren't content to stop there.
You know it. They're always pushing the boundaries.
Yeah.
They wanted to see if they could make these DeepaNets even more efficient.
Now we're talking. So how'd they do that? Did they invent some new kind of supercomputer?
Not quite. They got clever with their techniques. For example, they used something called transfer learning.
Transfer learning. Lay that on me.
Think about learning a new language. It's a lot easier if you already know a similar language.
Yeah.
Right? You can transfer some of that knowledge over.
Right. Like knowing Spanish can make it easier to pick up Italian.
Exactly. That's basically what they did with the DeepaNets. They'd train it on a simpler space, like that cubic room, and then fine-tune it for a more complex one, like the furnished room or the dome.
Ah, so you're giving the DeepaNet a head start. Very clever.
It's all about working smarter, not harder.
Mm.
And they also played around with something called multi-fidelity learning.
Multi-fidelity learning. Okay, another new term. Decode that one for me.
Well, it's like choosing the right resolution for an image. Sometimes you need ultra-high definition, And sometimes a lower resolution does the job just fine.
Right, especially if it means things load faster.
Exactly. It's about being strategic. So with multi-fidelity learning, they used a mix of high and low fidelity data when training the depot nets. For the parts of the simulation that needed super accuracy, they used the high fidelity stuff. And for the parts where it wasn't as crucial, they used simpler data.
So it's like prioritizing where you need the most detail and not sweating the small stuff.
Exactly. And it turns out this multi-fidelity approach can really lighten the computational load, making DepoNets even more practical for real-time applications.
Okay, I have to say, this is all sounding incredibly promising, but I can't imagine it's all smooth sailing. There have to be some challenges and limitations they're still wrestling with, right?
Of course. No scientific breakthrough is perfect right out of the gate. One thing they noted is that DepoNets are still much better at handling lower frequencies than high frequencies. Those super subtle, high-pitched sounds are still kind of tricky to nail down, especially in those more complex environments.
So like the tinkling of glass or the rustling of leaves, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. It's like they've nailed the bass line of virtual acoustics, but the high notes still need a bit of fine-tuning.
Okay, so room for improvement, but they're definitely headed in the right direction. What other challenges did they mention?
Well, scalability is another big one. The experiments in the paper were pretty limited, simulating just a few sound sources and listener positions.
Yeah.
But in the real world, especially in a VR environment, things are way more dynamic.
Right. You have multiple players moving around, objects interacting, sound sources changing position all the time.
Exactly. It's controlled chaos. So figuring out how to scale these DepoNet simulations to handle all that real-world craziness is still a big challenge.
Makes sense. Anything else?
One more thing. Right now, these DepoNet models don't factor in something called source directivity.
Source directivity. Remind me what that is again?
It basically means that most sounds don't radiate equally in all directions.
Oh, right. Like a loudspeaker. It projects sound forward more than it does backward.
Exactly. Like a spotlight versus a floodlight. And that level of detail is super important for creating truly realistic soundscapes.
So there's still some work to do. But even with those limitations, I'm blown away by the potential of this technology. It really feels like a game changer.
I agree. And it's not just about making VR and games more immersive. There are so many other potential applications. Remember the sonic fingerprints we were talking about? Well, it turns out they're really useful for architects and acousticians who are trying to design spaces that sound amazing.
Whoa, so this research could help us build better concert halls and classrooms in the real world.
Absolutely. And imagine the possibilities for helping people with hearing impairments. We could create personalized soundscapes that cater to their needs, helping them experience the world in a richer, fuller way.
Now, that's what I call using technology for good. But let's zoom out for a minute. What's the big takeaway here? What should our listeners be thinking about?
I think what's most exciting is that we're seeing AI and physics coming together in a truly revolutionary way. DepoNets are showing us how AI can be used to understand, model, and even predict complex physical phenomena like sound propagation. And it's happening at speeds we've never seen before.
So it's not just about better sound in our virtual worlds. It's about a fundamental shift in how we do science.
Exactly. And that's what's so thrilling about it. This research is opening up doors to all sorts of new possibilities. It's just the beginning.
And where do you think things go from here? What's next for these researchers?
Well, they're definitely going to keep refining the accuracy and efficiency of DepoNets. They want to tackle those high frequencies and make them work seamlessly in even more dynamic environments.
So basically, take those high notes up to 11. Got it. What else is on their radar?
They're also looking at how to make those sound sources in their simulations even more realistic.
Right, because a real-world sound isn't just a single point. It has all sorts of complexities, how loud it is, its frequency range, the direction it's traveling in.
All of that. So they're trying to bring in more of those nuances to make those virtual soundscapes even more believable. It's all about blurring the lines between what's digital and what's real.
Wow. That's really pushing the boundaries. What else are they exploring?
This is where it gets super interesting. They're actually starting to look at whether they can adapt DepoNets to simulate other physical phenomena besides sound.
Wait, what? Seriously? So we're talking about things like fluid dynamics, heat transfer, maybe even the behavior of subatomic particles all being simulated by AI.
Exactly. It turns out these DepoNets are pretty adaptable. They can be trained to model all sorts of complex systems.
Okay, my mind is officially blown. This could revolutionize so many fields, from engineering and medicine to climate modeling and material science.
It really is. The possibilities are pretty mind-blowing.
Totally. But let's get back to the sound for a sec. It sounds like there's still a lot of work to do before this tech is powering our VR headsets and games, right? I mean, were there any limitations the researchers mentioned?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like any good scientist, they were upfront about the limitations of their work.
Always a good sign.
Right. One thing they pointed out was that the DepoNets are still much better at handling lower frequencies compared to high frequencies. Like those really subtle, high-pitched sounds, those are still kind of tricky to simulate accurately, especially in complex environments.
So, like, imagine you're in a forest in VR. They've got the wind and the trees down pat, but the chirping birds are still a bit off.
Yeah, exactly. Those subtle details, the tinkling of glass, or like you said, the rustling of leaves, those are still a work in progress. It's like...
Like, they've nailed the bass line of virtual acoustics, but the high notes still need some fine-tuning.
Perfect analogy.
Okay, so room for improvement. What other challenges did they point out?
Well, another big one is scalability. The experiments they ran for the paper were, you know, fairly limited. They simulated just a handful of sound sources and listener positions.
Right, it was all very controlled.
Yeah. But in a real VR environment, things get wild. Multiple players running around, objects interacting, sound sources constantly shifting position.
It's like the difference between a perfectly choreographed dance and, like, a mosh pit at a concert.
Exactly. So figuring out how to make these DepoNet simulations handle that kind of real-world chaos, you know, where anything can happen, that's a big hurdle they still need to clear.
That makes sense. So controlled environments, good. Mosh pits, not so much.
Pretty much, at least for now. Oh, and one more limitation that's worth mentioning. The current DepoNet models don't account for something called source directivity.
Source directivity. Refresh my memory on that one.
Basically, it just means that most sounds don't radiate equally in all directions. You know?
Right, right. Like, think of a loudspeaker. It's projecting sound mostly forward, not so much behind it.
Exactly. It's like a spotlight versus a floodlight. And getting that right, that directionality, is super important for creating truly realistic sound.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. So it sounds like there's still work to be done, for sure. But even with these limitations, the potential here is incredible, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not just about making VR and games more immersive. This research has implications way beyond that.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more.
Well, for starters, remember those sonic fingerprints, those impulse responses we talked about? Turns out they're super useful for architects and acousticians who design physical spaces, you know, like concert halls and classrooms.
Wait, really? So this research could help us build real-world spaces that sound amazing.
Exactly. If they can simulate how sound will behave in a virtual space, they can use that same knowledge to design real spaces with perfect acoustics. It's pretty cool.
That is so cool. Imagine a world where every concert hall sounds like, you know, the Vienna Music Green.
Right. No more bad seats.
And what about all the other possibilities, like using this technology to help people with hearing impairments?
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge area of potential. Imagine being able to create personalized soundscapes that are tailored to someone's specific hearing needs.
Wow. That's amazing. Giving people a richer, more nuanced experience of the world through sound. Talk about using tech for good.
Couldn't agree more. And it's not just about those specific applications either. The big takeaway here, I think, is that we're at this really exciting point where AI and physics are colliding in a way that's going to revolutionize so many fields.
It's like a whole new era of scientific discovery. It's mind-blowing.
Totally. And these DepoNets are at the forefront of it all. They're showing us how we can use AI to understand, model, and even predict really complex physical phenomena like sound propagation. And they're doing it faster and more efficiently than we ever thought possible.
So it's not just about better sound in our virtual worlds. It's about a fundamental shift in how we approach science and problem solving.
Exactly. And that's what makes this research so incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
It's not just about one specific application. It's about opening up this whole new world of possibilities. Who knows what we'll be able to achieve with this technology in the years to come?
It's like we're standing at the edge of a vast, unexplored frontier. The possibilities are endless.
Okay, so where do we go from here? What are the next steps for these researchers? What are they focused on now?
Well, for one, they're going to keep refining those DepoNets, making them even more accurate and efficient, like we talked about. They need to figure out how to handle those high frequencies and make them work smoothly in those super dynamic, chaotic environments.
So turn those high notes up to 11. Got it. What else is on the agenda?
They're also working on bringing in those more realistic sound sources like we were talking about earlier. They want to capture all those nuances of real-world sound All those complexities that make things truly believable.
Right. So it's not just a generic door slam sound. It's a specific door made of a specific material slamming in a specific way. Exactly. The more detail they can pack in, the more immersive those virtual soundscapes become. They want to push that boundary, blur the lines between what's digital and what's real.
It's really remarkable stuff. And I have to ask, what's next for DeepoNets beyond sound? I mean, this technology seems like it has the potential to be so much more than just a tool for audio engineers.
Right. And this is where things get really, really interesting. They're actually exploring if they can use DeepoNets to simulate other physical phenomena, not just sound.
Wait, hold on. Seriously, like, are we talking about simulating things like how liquids flow, how heat transfers, maybe even like, the crazy stuff happening with subatomic particles?
You got it.
Yeah.
They're basically testing the limits of what these DeepoNets can do. It turns out they're incredibly versatile. They can be trained to model all sorts of complex processes, not just those related to sound.
Okay, now my mind is completely blown. I mean, think about the potential applications here. We could be talking about revolutionizing everything from engineering and medicine to climate modeling and even things like material science.
Exactly. The possibilities are truly endless. This research could unlock breakthroughs in fields we haven't even imagined yet. It's a really exciting time to be following this technology. It really is mind-blowing. It's like, this research could have ripple effects across so many different disciplines.
It's incredible, right? It all started with like simulating a door slamming in a virtual room. And now it's like we're on the cusp of, transforming entire fields.
It just shows you the power of basic research.
Yeah.
You never know where these explorations are going to lead.
It's like those scientists in Jurassic Park. They were just, messing around with dinosaur DNA.
And look what happened.
Exactly. Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive into virtual acoustics and DeepoNets, I got to ask, what's the one big takeaway you want our listeners to remember? What's the big aha moment?
I think it's this. We're witnessing this incredible fusion of AI and physics.
Yeah.
And it has the potential to, fundamentally reshape our understanding of, everything.
It's not just about making our video games sound cooler. It's about a whole new way of doing science.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so exciting. And a little bit scary, too, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. So on that note, let's leave our listeners with something to chew on, a question that'll keep them up at night.
I like that.
Okay, so what if, and just hear me out here, what if we could use this technology to simulate not just sound, but all sorts of physical phenomena? And I mean in real time.
Whoa, now you're talking. Imagine modeling weather patterns in real time, or predicting earthquakes with pinpoint accuracy, or even simulating the stock market.
The possibilities are endless and a little terrifying if you think about it.
It's like with any powerful technology, there's always the potential for both good and bad, right?
Absolutely. It's up to us to make sure we use these tools wisely. Well, on that note of boundless possibility and, a healthy dose of caution, I think it's time to wrap things up.
Yeah, I think we've given everyone a lot to think about today.
For sure. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of virtual acoustics, everyone. We hope you learned something new, and we can't wait to dive into another fascinating topic with you next time.